Amen. It sure is good to see each of you tonight, and been really looking forward to getting back and getting into the Word of God and studying. I know we've been going through our church constitution, and we pretty well finished that up the other week. And the next part that it goes into is the church covenant. And we, not too long ago, just went through the church covenant through our Sunday school class. So I thought we'd just pray about it and go from there and just kind of see how the Lord leads and have a different message tonight, I guess, kind of what you call a single message or a lesson that I trust and pray that'll be a help to us. It is going to be familiar scripture, but sometimes you can read familiar scripture and gain something new from it, and I think that's important. I think also sometimes what we call common, familiar, or often used scripture, I think there's a reason why the meaning that stands behind it and what have you, and I just think that is very important. So I think I'll go ahead and start with prayer tonight, and we'll get started that way, and we'll get into the lesson. I've got a little drainage going on, all that kind of good stuff, and I guess it's my turn. It seems like a lot of people's getting it. It's been so dry lately. I don't know if that's it or what, but we'll work through it tonight, and we'll go from there. But let's pray, and we'll get started tonight. Father, we come to you, Lord, always standing in need, God, but just thankful for you and who you are and just how you take care of us, God. If we're willing to look to you first and seek you out, and God, you're just always there, and I thank you for that. Lord, you never said we wouldn't go through things, but you promised that you would be there when we do. And God, I just thank you so much for that. I thank you for the word, the promises in your word that you give to us. So when we are having troubles and trials and things in life, Lord, it's there for us to read. God, it's there for us to believe and to apply and to let you have reign and have rule in our life. Let you prove yourself to us. And God, I just thank you for that. And Lord, I ask you to help me tonight. Help me with everything I say. Help my thoughts. Help my words. And God, I pray that you help the heart of every hearer tonight. I know so many are going through things, Lord. We all face things and going through things. And Lord, I just pray that you help us tonight and just lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll just kind of, I guess, be there for a little bit. This is probably going to be what I would say probably more along the lines of a Bible study tonight. But Ephesians chapter 6, when you start looking down around verses 10 through 18, you'll find when you know, if you don't already have that memorized, when you see it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know about that. The shield of faith, the armor, the protection for believers, and against, and who it's against and what have you. So the Lord just kind of laid that on my heart. I have some other verses that I want to read out of Psalms in just a little bit, but I kind of wanted to start here. So we'll read these, and I'll give you kind of what the Lord's laid on my heart. Verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But this is our armor." With what is the question that it has above my, the subtitle it has before these verses here. So what is our armor? "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet," or your feet, "shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." You know, I was a verse that came to me earlier on, and I'll go ahead and give this to you. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. This is kind of where my study started a couple of days ago, and it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Now, when you look at Psalm, that's David that's talking there. David faced a lot of things in his life, and I kind of looked back at some of the history of him a little bit, just some small, minute things, if you will, but I know they were big in his life. We'll start with the physical things tonight, but tonight's title is Spiritual Battles. Spiritual Battles. I don't know if you've ever, and I'm sure you have, so I'm not going to say you haven't or talk like that. I'm sure that you have. But have you ever experienced something where everything just feels off? Everything feels off. You can't really put your finger on it. You can't actually just say, you know, this is it. This is the thing. But you feel like you're being attacked, honestly. I don't know how else to say it. You're just attacked. You just feel maybe just there's this presence. You know, I'm not trying to be scary or anything like that, but I want to be real and be honest with you tonight. I mean, when you look at life, spiritual battles are real. That's not make-believe. That's not something just made for TV, movies, and things like that. When you really face something and you can maybe start to identify that, you know that, hey, this goes beyond what I would call a physical battle, a physical thing in life. I use David as an example because these words that come to my mind, I mean, there's been times in my life I've been afraid. Just been scared about things. Not afraid necessarily of another person, but when you can see events taking place and you have that feeling that something, that eerie feeling, something is going on, something is off, I believe that's for a reason. You know, I think it's important to take note of that, not look past it, but pay attention and say, is this of God or is this an attack? Anybody here been attacked by the devil? Let's start right there. I mean, you can go ahead and raise your hand if you want to. That's okay. I'm being serious tonight. This is serious business. God wouldn't have put this in his word if it wasn't for our edification, if it wasn't for what we needed to see. I go back and I think about David. He's a little shepherd boy, right? That's how he started. He's a shepherd out in the field, and he watched over sheep. That's what he was supposed to do. And thankfully, he was very good at what he'd done, even as a young person. You know, to me, I think a bear would be a fearful thing to run up on in the woods. To the point that I actually keep a gun with me just because I thought, you know what, I might run up on a bear, Brother Norman. More, you know, maybe a bobcat or something like that. But in my mind, one of the most fearful things that I would run up on in the woods is a bear. So, you know, I thought to myself, I'm taking photos sometimes, and there's sometimes you're out in the middle of the woods and there is nobody around. I mean, there's no houses, there's no cell service, it's you and whatever else is out there. You know, I've been out there before and kind of walking around, and you get in the thickets a little bit and kind of see and hear things stirring, you know, and there's times I've stopped in my tracks like, what was that? Maybe it was a limb falling or something like that, but 9 times out of 10, it's a squirrel. I think that's the loudest thing in the woods. I'll be honest with you. I seriously, as a deer hunter, I don't hunt hardly ever. I couldn't tell you the last time I hunted. But that is when I'd sit there and wait. You've got the food out and everything. And as the turning to dusk and as the sun's going down, you start hearing those leaves rustling like the big one's getting ready to come out. And no, it's a little squirrel. But man, he's tearing the woods down. And so there's times that I thought, well, you know, if I'm out and about and I'm to myself and I believe in the right to bear arms, all that good stuff. I believe in protecting yourself. And I thought, my goodness, if a bear ran up on me, what would I do? I would have nothing. I ain't going to hit him with the camera. I mean, that's not really going to do it. Take a picture of him as he's coming at me. I mean, that's not really going to do anything. And so I actually got a pistol. And this is one of those. It's a 45 long Colt. And then it's also got where you can put in the spread shot and everything, buckshot in it too. So I've got it loaded that you've got a slug and then a buckshot and a slug and a buckshot. And that way, hey, if that slug misses, then you got that buckshot that maybe it'll, you know, put his eye out or something. Hurt him just enough where I can get away. You know, that's my thought. So that is a weapon that you would use for something that you're afraid of. I can't fight against no bear. I mean, I know I'm a bigger guy, but I'm not that strong. And a little bear is a lot. I mean, it don't take much. So you look back, he's laughing. You look back on little David, I tell you, that took some courage. That's a big deal. It's a physical battle. The things that you see in front of you and you say, okay, I'm going to be prepared for that. I'll have what I need. And then you see a progression with David. You see him go from that. You had a bear. He fought a bear, slew a bear, the Bible says. And I was looking back on that. And also a lion. If we run upon a lion up here, we've got problems. I've never been so much afraid of that. I thought about bobcats, thought about bears. But you think about those things that he saw coming, he was able to withstand those things, physical battles. I will tell you this, physical battles are not easy, but I think physical battles in some ways can be easier than spiritual battles. If I see a threat coming, Brother Patrick, then at least I see it coming and can brace myself or something like that. Spiritual battles are different. They come out of nowhere. How many of you have seen a spirit? Anybody seen a spirit? I never have. Have you felt one? I have. So you know they're real. You know they're there. The Holy Spirit, primarily. But you know, I was listening to a message the other day, or part of a commentary the other day, when there was a battle in heaven. I believe the Bible says it's about a third of heaven that was kicked out. Where did they go? Where did those angels, where did those spirits go? I don't think, best I can tell in the Bible, spirits don't die. Our spirit doesn't die. It lives forever. Spirits don't die. They're somewhere. So if there's the Holy Spirit, the good spirit, then I believe there's bad spirits too. I really do. And you know, you can think, you can say, well, you know, the spirits, the devil will only bother you if you're really burning it down for God. So what I'll do is just not burn it down for God and just kind of hit the middle path, and maybe I won't face anything. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to live for God, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face battles. You're going to face trials. That's just mark it down. Mark it down. I'll say this, and I'll go back to the scripture too. Anybody want to venture where my gun is most of the time? I'm safe. It's locked up in the truck. Well, what's that going to do for you out in the middle of the woods? If you're up in the woods and it's locked down. And the reason, it's amazing how God does things. Today, I was out, nobody was home. I was doing a shoot and I was outside and I was up in the woods a little bit and I heard something pop and crack. I thought, goodness. It was kind of loud, you know, like boom. And I was like, goodness, what if that's a bear? I mean, that's where my mind goes. The biggest threats, you know, we kind of go to the biggest threats first. I thought, what, that's a bear? And I said, I got my gun in the truck. And Brother Allen, instantly, I'm like, it's locked up in the truck. It ain't going to do nothing for me. I know where it's at, but it's not handy. I don't have it close. I don't have it where I can use it. And man, you know, the Lord really laid that on my heart, how often we treat the Word of God the same way. Are you saying take your Bible everywhere? No, that's good. I would if I was you. But I'm telling you, the best place that you can have any weapon is as close to you as you can have it. And that's in here. And that's in here. What you can have in that moment, in that instant, Lord just really laid that on me. Because you know, I'm telling you, the biggest battles I think we face today are right here. And it'll translate into our hearts. I believe that what happens up here a lot of times affects what we feel right here. We think about it, we either fear it or we just get rid of it. We dismiss it and get rid of it. I don't know how many verses there are in the Bible that talks about the mind and protecting the mind, but you'll see in these verses here tonight, it absolutely talks about that. And David, talking about these things, you think David was afraid when he was facing that bear? I guarantee he was. I would have been. This is several years ago. I was still living at home. And again, I used to like to deer hunt and all that. I never, never a big trophy hunter, nothing like that. You know, don't have too many big ones around here, but I like to go, especially around Thanksgiving. I mean, it's kind of tradition, stuff like that. And I remember one morning, I went out to go hunting and had all my orange on, had all my stuff on, had my gun on, and I take out in the woods, and this is the woods behind Mom and Dad's house, so I knew where everything was at. It's almost like being in your house because you just walked it so much. You know where everything was at. And also the way that they planted those trees, they were planted in order. This was one of those things where you had all these pine trees planted in an order, so it was kind of easy to follow. There wasn't a whole lot. You just kind of had a path and you could kind of go through. And it was so dark, you couldn't really see it, but you could kind of see the path. So I was all excited, and I thought, man, if I can get up there, get settled before daylight, and kind of get down and behind the little laurel thickets like you have out in Beaver Dam, if I can get back in there and just hide, maybe I can get something. Maybe I can get something today. So I got back, and I got settled. Well, I was getting ready to get settled, and I heard, whoa! That's all I heard. Next thing I know, I'm trying to go back to where the daylight was, climbing up across the bank. I think my gun hit the ground. Found that there's a barbed wire fence because it actually cut my head and took my toboggan off. It was, I don't know, is it still out there? I don't know if I went back to get it or not. If you ever fought something like that or faced something like that, I was afraid and I had a gun. Dare say David didn't have a gun. But he wanted to take care of his sheep. And that's what he did. He would take care of his sheep, and you think about the bear, you think about the lion. And if you say, David, what is almost the next thing that most people would say? And Goliath. You see a progression there? You see kind of how things went? You had a bear or a lion. I wouldn't want to face either one, so I don't know what level. I'll just make that equal. But you go from that, and here he is facing Goliath, and everybody's just standing there watching him. Everybody's standing and watching both sides. Well, like, what are we going to do? I mean, who's going to do this? And Saul, I mean, my goodness, Saul, do something. You're the big guy. You got all the big armor. You got the big sword. You got the big shield. You got everything. Just go do something. But everybody was afraid. But see, David had something in his heart. He said, is there not a cause? He was willing to actually make a stand for something. I believe he actually had a relationship with God to the point that it's, if I live, if I die, I'm going to do what's right. You see, the Bible, what it says here too, even looking back here in Ephesians, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You and I are no match for the devil. On our best day, his worst day, none of us are a match for him. Just period. You know, I see people make posts and say things and talk big, and I know a lot of times people say things joking and all that. This is serious business. If anybody thinks that they can fight against a spirit, fight against the devil, you're kidding yourself. If you don't have these things in place, you're going to lose. I promise you. I mean, I don't even have to guess it. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I can absolutely tell you, you're going to lose. We're no match for the devil. We're no match for spirits. We're no match for things like that. But yet, how often do we go out and we leave our sword, we leave our protection locked up somewhere where we can't even get to it? I dare say more times than not. It's an afterthought. Oh no, something bad's happening. Let me go get my whatever. You need to have it out in front. I mean, we need to have it there with us. And again, thinking about what David says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He's not saying he's going to do anything other than just put his trust in God. And he says, I will praise in his word. He's actually saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust in God, and then I'm just going to praise and get excited about what his word said, what he's told us. And you know, I think there's a lot of comfort in that. I think there's a lot of solace in that. I think there's a lot of happiness in that. Here's the thing about the Word of God. If you see and read what happens to those who disobey and what happens versus to those who are obedient and apply the Word of God, that should excite us. Because God is promising us, you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. I'm the power. John 15, you can't do nothing without me. But yet, A lot of times people think that they can. Verse 13 and also in Psalm 56 it says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And just stop right there. I mean, just stop right there. This is talking to the believer. This is David talking. I mean, he's rationalizing things that he knows in his life. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." What is worse than that? Name one thing that's worse than that. But yet Jesus has already conquered that, Brother Norman. He's already delivered the believer from death. You know, that right there should give you some kind of solace about things. It's like, okay, if that's the worst case scenario and he's already beat that, what about these other little things in life? We can't go around with our head in the sand, though. I really want us to see some things about faith here in just a minute. But it says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" If you've delivered me from death, can you not help me walk? Amen. That's what he's saying. See, sometimes we think about worst case scenarios and, well, the Lord's delivered us from the worst things. He's going to help us in the worst things. David is saying, well, can he not help us in the littler, the smaller things, the little things? I believe he can. That's what's really interesting when you see this here. I mentioned those things. You think about it like this. We all know what happened. He picked up the 5 stones. He went. He put it in the sling. That's amazing. I've never tried to do something like that. I did see an ad for an automatic slingshot, and I thought that was pretty cool. It shoots out ball bearings. That's pretty powerful. It could blow a balloon up. I was watching it hit cans and balloons. Like, man, that thing's powerful. That thing's dangerous. You think about that. Everybody was watching. Nobody wanted to do anything. The Israelites were watching. You had the Philistines watching. Everybody's waiting to see what was happening, but you only had one moving. The thing about David is he didn't go in the power of his might. He went in the power of the Lord's might. And he knew that. He knew that he was no match for Goliath in and of himself, but he knew what he was standing for, and he knew what he had to do, and he did it through the power of God's might. So up to this point, David looks like a strong, fearless leader, doesn't he? I mean, isn't that where you want to be? I'm like, that's who I want my king to be. Yeah, Saul, you're bigger than everybody, but you didn't move. David did. And that's something you can get behind. And you see how it goes from there. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, you say, man, you know, Saul killed his thousands. Then how'd the rest of the song go? And David, his 10,000s. Little David. Boy, that got Saul mad, didn't it? That burned him up. He was the king. You know, I've got the title. I brought him on. Praise me for being smart enough to bring him along. But there's something more powerful than those battles. Those things that you can see and that you can look at. When you think about spiritual battles, they sneak up on you. They come from directions that you're not really looking. Next thing you know, they're on top of you. And they're all over you. I don't know, and I'll share this with you. I'm just being honest with you. Last month or so, I told Brandy, I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, but I can feel just something not right. I mean, it's just like, it's real. Kind of an eerie type of a feeling, kind of a scary type of a thing. And I said, Brandy, I don't really know what to do with it. Started studying, looking at some of these things here. And I tell you, spiritual warfare is real. There's nobody in here that God doesn't want to take out. If he can make an example out of anybody, he will do it. You think about older saints, people that you have confidence in, things like that. That's who the devil wants. That's who he wants. Target. That's who he wants. And then you go on and you look. David is going through his life progressing. I know I'm missing a whole lot, and there's a whole lot we probably never will fully know till we get to heaven and get to talk to him. But now you think about how he went on, but what got him? Remember, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, I always thought as a younger person, I've said this before, as you get older, those things go away. But as I've gotten older, I've found it don't. They don't. Everybody here is susceptible to one of those three things, all of those three things for your entire life, for my entire life. And you say, yeah, that's the flesh. It really is. But you think about what brings that on. You think that there could possibly be a force that's out there that could kind of make things come together, align things just right, to snare you and have you sucked into something before you realize it? Amen. Amen. See, we're kidding ourselves if any one of us think that we can't fall to something like that. Heard something the other day. I thought this was really good. It's a neat little podcast. There's a couple of preachers talking, but I thought it was really good. And he said, you know, this one fellow, the interviewer, was asking the pastor and the preacher, he said, how are you about hanging out with people that's outside the church and doing things and all that kind of stuff that maybe you don't agree with? You know, you're supposed to be a witness and do things. And he said this. He said, you know, he said, if there's going to be drinking, drugs involved, I'm not going to be there. And he didn't leave it at that. He said, because I wouldn't want to have a moment of weakness in the flesh and mess up. Brother Patrick, I was like, yes. You know what people think sometimes, long-time Christians would have you to believe? I'm past all that. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. In right circumstances, right situations, things come together and fall just in place. You have that right influence. You have that spiritual wickedness in high places. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. One of the most dangerous things we can do is say, it's not going to happen to me. Honestly, I'm going to say this. I'm going to get on, but I thought about this, brother. Brother Norman said a minute ago, he said, the Lord never promised you that you wasn't going to go through things, but he promised he'd be with you. Sister Linda, he said, I'll go with you. Even to the end of the world, amen, is what he said when he's talking about sending out the prophets, the preachers. But you know, the funny thing about my pistol in the truck, I keep going back to that. You know what I said in my heart and in my mind? I'll be all right this time. Maybe nothing will happen this time. We're supposed to have faith, right? Do you think any one of us can have enough faith? I'm trying to word this right, that nothing's going to happen. You're going to face things. I'm going to face things. That's just how it is in this life. You can't say, I've heard people say, if I had more faith, this person wouldn't have passed away. If I had more faith, this wouldn't have happened. No. That's not how it is. That's not how that works. Sometimes people say that my faith was weak. Had I had stronger faith, this wouldn't have happened. No. That's not how it is. We're going to face things. We're going to go through things. But the Bible says here in Ephesians, we have weapons in place. That's what the Bible calls it. You think about it again. David's probably having a good day up to that point, and he looked back and realized what had happened and what had done. It's too late. It's done. This is our defense. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our might, not our faith, but be strong in the power of His might. He knows better. And it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All of them. That means you can't leave your pistol in your truck. No, you can't. No, you can't afford to leave any one of these things out. That's the way the Lord had laid this on my heart and studying. You know, you look at it and you say, well, yeah, I've got a measure of faith and I've got some of this. But no. He's saying all of it. You need all of it. One thing I've learned in life, sometimes things will encompass you a lot quicker than what you ever realize. And you want to have things in place before that happens. Now, verse number 12 is probably the key point of this entire chapter, but it's important for us to realize a lot of things you can't see happening. You can't see it coming necessarily. You might feel it. You can feel a spirit, but you can't see one. You can see the effects, or you can feel the effects. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not what we see. A lot of times you see people have an argument. You see people have a disagreement about things. And you know, usually if you dig enough back in behind that, you'll probably find there's some spiritual warfare that's kind of egging that thing on. The Bible even says don't be afraid of those who can just kill the body, but think about those that the one that has the power to put the soul and the body into hell. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You want to fight any one of them? Anybody want to sign up tonight and say, hey, put me on the fighting line. I'm ready to fight that. Not me. That's a long list of things. And how many of them can you see? You see the effects. We can see the effects from them. But a lot of times after you see the effects, the damage is already done. You look back to the hurricane. We didn't realize how bad it was going to be, and nobody knew how bad it was until it was over. And that you're just looking at the effects then. You're looking at the aftermath. Now you got to rebuild. So that's how spiritual warfare is. If you go in blindsided, it's too late. You don't have your armor on, it's too late. There's no going back to the truck. Verse number 13, this is our weapons. I'll hurry along. This is our weapons. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Whole. That means you're not supposed to leave any of these things out. The reason I'm going to say it like this, if you don't think the devil, his angels, watch people and study people, we're wrong. I think sometimes that's why you can feel the things you feel sometimes. I believe that. I'm trusting in the Lord with what I'm teaching to you tonight. I hope it'll be a help to you. I believe it with all my heart. So if you've got this unseen watching you, do you think they're going to know where you hadn't put your armor on? I believe that. You know what? He didn't put his helmet on. His mind is sitting right there wide open for the taking. Who wants it? Who wants it? You know what? He didn't put the breastplate on. Aim straight for his heart, buddy. That's an easy one. He ain't even looking. That's an easy one. The whole armor is what's being taught. The whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. There's sometimes, I believe in our lives, you can get all suited up for the battle and not even have to lift a finger. But we're to be suited up. We're to have our faith and our confidence in Him. Be ready. Be prepared. The Bible says a lot about standing too. I like that. And you see what it says about standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having the breastplate, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Talking about your loins with truth. You know, I think sometimes people can lose sight of what that means. Truth is a conformity to fact or reality. True state of facts or things, virtue and honesty. I've heard it said so many times, people talk about their truth or all this kind of stuff. People try to make up what's going to work for them. That's not the truth. That's made up. This is talking about being close to God's truth, what it says in His Word, taking Him at His Word, putting on His truth. If you try to make up your truth, I'll tell you this, you go into battle with your truth, you will fail. I'll promise you that, because that's not the truth. You got to stand with what God has called true, and what He is saying is truth. Instead, have your loins girt about with truth. Your loins, that's the strongest part. I remember preacher Ben Carper talking about that one time. This is the strongest part of a man, this portion here. And that's where the foundation is on truth. You don't have truth, you don't have a foundation. What are you going to stand on if you don't have truth? The breastplate of righteousness. Again, we talked a lot about righteousness on Sunday. Our righteousness versus God's righteousness. We have none. That's purity of heart, the rectitude of life, the rightness of principle or practice. That's following after what He's saying to do. Here's the thing. You get in a moment of weakness and you get away from that, you've done taken off part of your armor. Period. You've laid it down. You made yourself susceptible. You're open. It talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 1 Corinthians 1:15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which I also have received, and wherein ye stand." You're standing on the gospel. Like I said, Sunday, read that verse on Sunday. That's what we stand on. The gospel is the foundation of everything. That's the foundation of the truth. Why Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for our sins, to make a way for us, but yet we don't put that armor on. Verse number 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Faith sometimes, I think, gets left out of things. I think people, I don't know if you forget how to use it. We forget how to use it. Don't use it. Choose not to use it. Sometimes it gets weak. I think this is the hardest part. We went this far, might as well jump all the way in. Have you ever prayed and you didn't feel like anything changed? I mean, have you just prayed your heart out, you felt like the best way you knew how, and nothing happened? I don't think anything will make a person weaker than that. That's what hits me. If I've prayed, and not necessarily for it to be a certain way, but maybe that there just be a good conclusion or what have you, that it feel right. But you can pray about things, but then it gets to the place that it never just feels right. What do you do with that? It's easy to lose your faith in those situations. It's easy to say, I'm going to quit praying about it. I mean, nothing's changing. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. One thing I have learned about trials, if you wait long enough, if you stand long enough, God will give you a conclusion. It may not be one that you ever saw coming. Most of the time it's not. That's why it requires faith. It may be a completely different outcome than what you thought, but yet God will give you peace in a way that you never thought you could have peace. If this life is going to wax worse and worse, this world, let's say it that way, is going to wax worse and worse as we go on, everybody in here has to be stronger and stronger. You do not know how strong you are until you fail. Think about working out in a gym or what have you. People say, what's your bench? You know, what's your max? What's your max? How much can you lift? The only way you know that is you've kept lifting until that one time you went to go up and you couldn't lift anymore. That means you can say you failed, but you know your limitations. Sometimes we try to do things outside of our limitations, but not looking at the power of His might. I think a lot about faith. Faith really, to me, I gave you the definition, Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. So many times I don't know exactly how to pray, what to pray for. But then I find myself, Lord, I trust your judgment. It's important enough that I'm praying. I'm going to trust your judgment with this. If or where I'm wrong in it, if I need to make changes on my end, show me. Be willing to do, be willing to move, be willing to follow after Him. Whatever, Lord, I want what you want. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I like that word all. You're seeing all-inclusive things. You're supposed to put on the whole armor. And if the whole armor is on, then the Bible says you're able to quench all the fiery darts. Anybody here want to have all the darts quenched? I mean, I do. I'm telling you, this is serious business. This is the recipe of what God put in here for you and I to have. We can take it serious or we can walk out and not. Verse number 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Well, that's a big one. The helmet of salvation. Salvation, it's held in the heart, but it's guarded by the mind, is the way I see it. And it means preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. And you see how that it's placed up there in the mind, the helmet, that's protector of the mind. Salvation, we know it's in the heart, it's held in the heart. You can have it in the heart, but so often it's our head, our minds that we fight with. The Bible says so much about guarding our minds. One step to the smallest degree away from God is a step in the wrong direction. And if you let your mind take one degree step in the wrong direction, you're headed in the wrong direction, period. Period. That's how every, I'm telling you, that's how every major, if you want to call it a mistake, I call it a choice, I believe it's a choice. That's how every single choice starts. Right here. And the more you entertain it, the more you start leaning that way. You start looking, if you're driving and you start looking one way, guess what? That's the way you gravitate to. And guess who knows that? The devil. He knows that. He don't have to come up with new schemes and new devices. The same old ones work over and over because people are not willing to put on the armor that God's prescribed to us. Right here, again, I've said it. You could probably quote this scripture, I know Brother Finley can, way better than I can. You know it, we know it. But a lot of times we won't pick it up and we won't put it on. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall stand, be able to stand. Ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's keeping the Word of God in our hearts. Spending time, if we're not spending time placing the Word of God in our heart and our mind, we're already behind. That's absolutely part of the armor. That's where you're taking God at His Word. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not putting the Word of God in you, you don't have any faith. What are you building your faith on? Hoping that you don't need it this time. I mean, seriously, that's a dangerous place for a Christian to live. Maybe I won't need it this time. There's going to come a time in your life, in my life, we're going to need it. You have to have it. There's no way around it. Physical things in life, spiritual battles in life, there's no way around it. You're going to have it. There's no other way around it. And I'm closing with this. Perfect ending. Praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, looking out for each other, taking care of each other. But look how that reads, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You can pray. I've prayed a lot. I count it a lot of times during the day. A lot of times it's basically having a conversation. But it says here in the Spirit. That requires faith. You remember we're talking about a spiritual warfare, spiritual battle? In the Spirit. I mean, you know, the Lord can see all things. You think you're His child. We're talking about believers. You're His child. You're walking through this place, this dark earth, this dark world. Don't you think He can see the spirits that are around you, good or bad? Then who do you think we should be talking to the most? Praying always. The Lord really laid this on my heart as I was getting ready tonight. A lot of times we pray and we talk about, I want to know if I'm in the will of God or not. I don't know if I'm in His will. I feel uneasy. I'm not sure if I'm in the will of God or not. We're kind of, you know, trying to feel around things and trying to understand things and comprehend things like that. If you want to know your standing with Jesus, it will absolutely be exposed in your prayer life. That's where you stand. Now, I'm not saying you're lost. You're saved. If you're saved, you're saved for eternity. Amen. But if you want to know your standing, you want to know your closeness, you want to know your fellowship, it will be identified in your prayer life. I believe that with everything. We say, well, I didn't even pray today. Amen. How close did you feel to God today? I don't feel close to the Lord. I don't know how many times I hear people say, I just don't feel His presence, because you're not close to Him. Period. If you don't feel the presence of God, it's because you took a step away from it. It's not Him. He will be as close to you as you will absolutely let Him be. If you don't feel His presence, it's because you are walking away from Him. Prayer life. I mean, you know, let's use a physical application. If me and Brandy are sitting in the living room and she and I aren't talking, I have no idea what she's thinking. I can make up stuff in my mind and say, well, she's not talking to me, she's mad. Well, she might be thinking about something. But see, in my mind, I can build up something else, and that's not even the case. He says, talk to me. Talk to me. Spend time with me. Talk to me. Fellowship with me. Not just when something bad happens. Not just when something's going on that you don't understand, and you know, say, hey, come help me with this, and then I'll leave you alone. Jesus don't want to be left alone. He went and died on a cross, the worst death, just so He could be with us for eternity. You think He wants to be alone? You think about somebody that loves their children and wants to be with their children? It's Him. You and I can't wear our welcome out with Him. But how often are we spending time in prayer? See, when you're talking about a relationship that God has given to us, He says, here, I'm giving you the power to all who believe, the power to become the sons of God. And then He says, now, alongside of that, I'm giving you the choice to walk in My ways or not. You get out of line, He'll discipline you. But He's saying, you choose, you decide. Sky's the limit, you decide. But how often do we start taking steps away? We wonder why we feel far away from God. When something bad happens, we feel confounded. We feel spiritual warfare coming on. We're not prepared. We're not ready. We're not ready. It's because we didn't prepare ourselves. The Bible's clear on what it says. Spiritual battles. I hope you can take this tonight and study on that, think on that, meditate on that, absolutely pray on that, get some things from it. It's something I've just had on my heart for probably a month now, and I'm like, Lord, I don't even know where to start on a study. I don't even know that verse talking about there in Psalms 56, but that time I'm afraid I'll put my trust in Thee. That's where it starts. But you have to base your trust on something, an actual relationship. You know, Jesus told me this. God told me this. God promised me this, and guess what? He followed through. I can trust Him. It's not only just in physical things, but it's also absolutely in spiritual things. I'm going to stop right there tonight. I could probably keep rambling, but I'm